Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, where we're building freedom-based businesses in the print-on-demand industry. Broadcasting to you from around the world, here are your hosts, Spencer and Shannon.
Hey everybody, if you're enjoying our show and you want to check out exactly how Shannon and I are growing our own online businesses, head on over to our Patreon page and sign up for our monthly income reports. Break down everything from our sales to our expenses, what's working, what isn't, and any new strategies we're trying out as well. And if you're curious how we're managing to keep thousands of designs organized and uploaded across different platforms, you can check out Shannon's Merch Along software for free. Links below in the show description. All right, let's go ahead and get into the show. Welcome everybody to episode number 21 of the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. I'm Spencer. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
Shannon is with you guys today. What's up? Welcome to the show, everybody.
Oh, Shannon, we're super excited to have a special guest on. Today we welcome Jewel of Esatino Artists. Jewel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So let's jump right into it. So I'm pretty new to your channel and what you're doing. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what Esatino Artists is, who makes up your team, and then how you guys work in print on demand?
Sure. Yeah. So the channel itself is both myself and my business partner, Arit Esselin. And we went to high school together. And so we started this YouTube channel. Basically, each day of the week has its own topic. And Mondays is called Make That Money Mondays. Tuesdays is Social Media Biz Tip Tuesdays. Wednesdays is Video Creator Wednesdays. Thursdays is Mind to Thrive Thursdays. And Fridays is Dream Driven Fridays. So each day of the week is like a topic that we personally love to share and teach and talk about. So we created this channel. It's mainly a tutorial channel. There's some vlogs and adventure videos, but mainly it's a tutorial channel teaching exactly what we are doing online, whether it be video, social media, or like my adventures on print on demand. I created a whole video series on that.
That's awesome. I watched a couple of your videos. You talked about some of the different platforms that you're on, like I think Redbubble you mentioned and Etsy and Merch by Amazon. Are those the only channels that you're on, or are you working in other sales channels?
So yeah, for merch, like print on demand whole thing, like Merch by Amazon was the one that got us like the foot in the door. And then it led to Redbubble and then Etsy/Printful. And there's three people in our sort of print on demand team. And we all went to high school together, which was kind of funny. So it's me, Arit, and Maria. And we meet up once a week. And I mainly take care of Merch by Amazon. We have two accounts. And then Arit does Printful and Etsy. And Maria takes care of Redbubble. But we collectively come together to think of ideas and talk about what's happening on each platform. Like if something, some news happens on Merch or something happens on Redbubble or there's a return on Etsy, we'll like discuss it and see what's happening. So we've best decided that each person take it on, because if we all try and do all three of it together, it got kind of too chaotic and too muddled. And we just decided that based on our strengths, that we would take on one platform each. And right now that's a lot. So we don't want to take on any more platforms as of right now. But yeah, those are what the three ones I talk about on Mondays on our little show.
So what was the catalyst? Like, so you guys have a lot of things. You mentioned Merch by Amazon was your foot in the door. How did you find out about that? How did you get on it? Since you lead that platform, was it you having an experiment, or walk us through kind of how you got into that and then when you saw the potential of print on demand?
So I've always, I've been in like doing e-commerce, the whole type thing. And then it went on a gradual thing. So from the very beginning, I started on Craigslist, selling on Craigslist. When you start on Craigslist, it eventually evolves to, oh, let me sell this stuff online. So then it goes to eBay. And then you're like, okay, eBay's annoying. You have to send everything yourself. Let's go on to Amazon. And it's like pretty much how most people start. Yeah. Then you go to Amazon, you do FBA. I still do retail arbitrage here in Canada. And then I know, like, Amazon is such an innovative company when it comes to giving opportunity to entrepreneurs. So when they launched Merch by Amazon, everyone who was doing retail arbitrage, Amazon FBA, everyone was talking about it in that community. And so I decided to check it out. And I had heard about the whole Teespring create campaigns on Facebook and do that, but I wasn't really interested in creating campaigns and launching them on Facebook and building audiences that way. When I heard about Merch by Amazon and that we were going to leverage Amazon's customer base and they were going to do, like, you would do the listing and then they would just ship it out and do all that customer service, I was fully on board. Like, I had no experience in design t-shirts or anything like that, but I figured that if I could figure out, you know, Amazon FBA private labeling, that it wouldn't be that difficult. So I mentioned it to my business partner, who thought it was like a joke at first, because it was like, what, you want us to sell t-shirts now? And I was like, no, I think it's more than that. They're eventually going to evolve. And then at that time when I was learning about it, a friend, our old friend from high school, had randomly messaged us because she saw what we were doing online. And she's like, hey, let's have a, I'd like to see you guys. It's been like 10 plus years. Let's hang out. And then I just told her about this. And I just said, hey, you want to do it with us? It seems like it's a fun thing. And then she's like, she had no experience, like, at all with entrepreneurship or anything. Like, she's a 911 operator here in Vancouver. And so that's like her main job. And we just kind of like said, hey, let's do this business together. And it's been like a year and a half. And yeah, it's been going strong.
Wow. It's funny how things evolve from like Craigslist to eBay to the next online thing. And then you find this opportunity. And then all of a sudden we're talking on a YouTube channel about this Merch by Amazon thing. It's, yeah. It's funny, the evolution sort of that follows. And it seems like a lot of people follow the same or similar steps.
Yeah, I agree. Like, we were all kind of, well, actually the eBay was, there was a whole drop shipping era that was happening over there. And then Amazon FBA happened after drop shipping. And then it just, like, I much prefer Merch by Amazon, to be honest, than doing like private labeling or anything like that. I just find it a lot easier and a lot more fun.
They definitely make it a lot easier on us. So what kind of tier are you on, and what kind of, how has it been going? How's the Merch by Amazon been treating you?
So we have two accounts, and how that happened was when I first started, there was like a long period of wait before you could get in. And I was like, did I do this right? And then I just used another email to sign up again. And then the first one got approved, and that one was under my name. And then I remembered when we were on tier 100 that I had another account that got approved as well. So we put that under our other business partner's name. And then that's kind of, I didn't plan to have two accounts, but our second account is kind of like our experiment account. So we put a lot of seasonal and trending and viral designs on there. And our first account is mainly evergreen designs. So the first account, which is the main account, has, we're at a 1,000. And then the second account is at tier 500. And then the one that has 1,000 is the one that we mainly pay attention to. And the other one is just sort of like when holidays come, oh, let's put some more designs on that one. Because it is very time consuming to have two like full accounts.
Yeah, it's hard to go after both, especially, I mean, are you guys designing, you mentioned it's fun, like, does that mean you're designing yourself and you like to draw inspiration from places, or are you outsourcing that part?
We do both. So we have two designers that we got on Upwork, and we pay them $3 per design, and we give them between 5 to 10 designs per week. We found that if we gave them more than 10, they kind of get a little bit sloppy. So we keep it at that. And then also both Arit and I really like the creative process. We're very artistic type people. So we actually do like creating the designs ourselves, even though it does take longer. And Maria, she had no design experience at all. But since Merch Informer released their little kind of like easier version of Photoshop, she has been loving the whole design process. Because like Photoshop was way over, like too crazy for her. Like she, every time she'd be like, how do you change this color? How do you do this? And it's like, whoa, okay, it's taking like an hour for design. And she got kind of thrown off by that. But when Neil released that new portion on Merch Informer, it made designing so much easier for her. So she's really liking that.
Yeah, that's, I agree. Awesome. It can be a little intimidating on Photoshop. I mean, everything you try to do for the first time, you're going to end up going to do like 5 or 10 Google searches for how to do it. And if you're going the self-taught route. So I haven't actually used the Merch Informer design module. Is it like a drag and drop? Is there clip art?
It's still fairly new, so there isn't like a huge selection of clip art, but we use other sites to grab like different pictures and stuff.
Okay. I think they just, I got an email today saying that they updated it. Now it integrates with like Pixabay or like Pexels or something. So a couple different.
Like the free clip art.
Royalty free. Commercially free resources. So now you can just like integrate with thousands and thousands of different images that are, have been uploaded to those different sites.
Yeah, I played around with it. I had a lot of fun with it. I did a tutorial on it. And I was like, wow, this is really easy. Like you have no excuse not to be able to create something.
I think it's cool that you guys are doing your own designs too. I can almost see, like, I'm sure I want to ask you a little bit about what you've seen sell on different platforms. I know you're focused on merch, but you probably have an idea of one platform sells differently than the other. You know, if a lot of people are starting to design with clip art and things that are available for free, then I think there's also another opportunity on merch to do your own unique designs that aren't kind of cut from a template. I've seen my conversions, for example, on like the really basic, simple designs that may be similar or easily copied by others kind of go lower and lower. But the ones that are unique and have a lot of thought put into them and have like an artist's touch tend to do better overall for me. I'm wondering if you're seeing the same thing.
I find that on our first account, like, yeah, each platform is different. I did a video on this where I'm noticing like certain like everyday type shirts do really well on Amazon, like for the everyday type consumer. With Redbubble, you need to be a little more artistic, I find, with our account. Like you need the graphic needs to be more than just it needs to have, like, we usually need to outsource those ones for Redbubble to make it more technical. And then on Etsy, it's just all like really cute, cartoony, female, fun family jokes, family type stuff do really well on Etsy because the majority of the customer base is female on there. So, yeah, but we have sold some male shirts as well. But yeah, like, It's hit and miss sometimes. Like sometimes something will be so simple and I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that actually sold. Because sometimes we put things up as a joke to see, this will be hilarious if it sells. And like we'll each have like our own random designs because we're both very different people. So like Arit usually wants empowering like shirts with lions because she's from South Africa. And that whole African theme. And then I'm really silly. I always put like monkey type shirts with wearing sunglasses. And Maria's also really silly. And so we each put our own types of shirts and they've all sold. Like there's really, in my opinion, no rules to what kinds of shirts sell. I think there's niches all over the place. So I mean, both complicated, easy. I actually find that on Amazon, the simpler you make it, the better. In my opinion, because most people aren't wanting to spend like a high dollar amount on the t-shirt. But yeah, on Etsy, you can definitely price a lot higher.
Yeah, I agree with you on that design point about simple and bold and easy sells. And it helps you stand out in the search results too, when people can see the message of the shirt. I don't know, Shan, what would you say your goofiest shirt that you sold on Amazon is?
Goofiest shirt.
Yeah, like a shirt that surprised you so much it sold.
You're putting me on the spot.
I'll go first. I did one. It was one of the first ones I did. I was doing like a scaled series. So I was doing like just a girl who loves X, and then just like bang, 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 bang. And then I did one, just a girl who loves horses. And yeah. I think it's completely died this year. But last year, I think I sold like 400 of that shirt. And I have yet to see it in the wild. But when I have that day, maybe I need to like start hanging around more horses or something. But when I see a shirt in the wild, like that's going to be a good day. But that one, I was just completely shocked. Like really? Maybe I'm just a boy who loves horse shirts. I don't know.
That's crazy. That's, yeah. When I was, when we first started, we were thinking of very basic, and I did a shirt that just said, yep, everyone copied it after that. Like it just, after I mentioned it on a podcast, like everyone did one. It was like, yep. And then it was like all in capitals and it was like a period, and it was selling like daily, like at least a couple times daily. And it was like, we were shocked, like, cause that was when we first started and we're like, oh my gosh, like the doors have opened here. Like it doesn't really need to be that difficult. But yeah, I've done stuff like that. I've done a whole sunglass series where I just put sunglasses on everything, on animals, on fruit, whatever. And all those have sold as well. But yeah, we're pretty quirky. So anything that is funny or amusing to us, we tend to just put up on a t-shirt and just see if it sells. As long as Maria's she does all the text for all of the shirts, the like the keywords and the title and bullet points, so she's pretty good at that now. So she's good at finding like niche categories to go in, and it's really funny when these shirts that we've made up sell randomly.
You had a shirt that was like the bump wants tacos, you know, like a newly pregnant shirt.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it's just a picture of a taco, and then we get all kinds of comments that, like, is this a pregnancy shirt? And it's not a pregnancy, just a shirt for someone that might be pregnant within like the first month or two, because obviously the size is We've sold it, but it's getting one star reviews because everyone says it's too small. Obviously, it's too small. It's not.
Oh my gosh!
It's just regular. Oh, so we didn't really think that one through a whole lot, but it still sells, which is weird.
I think the cool thing about Amazon is that there's like you said before, Joel, there's so much traffic there that it can support a lot of different niches, and it can be a good testing ground for, hey, this is selling well on Amazon. Maybe I can pilot it on other platforms, or maybe I'm selling a lot of shirts in this like funny fruit sunglasses niche. Maybe that's even like a micro brand you could start. And then pilot that on Etsy. It's like a good place to get information, but I do still like the other platforms. I think it's really smart that you guys are selling elsewhere, because Amazon's so lacking for customer data and really understanding who's buying your shirt and having an opportunity to like remarket to them, that if you want that, you have to go elsewhere. So I think it's smart you guys are doing that.
Yeah, Redbubble has always been sort of like the sidelines in the background, like from the very beginning. But when the freeze happened in this past December, we were really bummed out. Like we were like, wow, I can't believe Amazon is doing this to all of us. Like literally when a shirt started to really get going, they would just like freeze it and just take it off. And then we're pretty pissed to say the least. And then we're like, okay, we cannot have this happen again. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. Like Q4 is supposed to be amazing, but it was not amazing with the Merch by Amazon. So that's why we went full force, like right after that happened, January. We're like, okay, we're going to figure this whole Etsy Printful thing out. And then that's when we spent time creating our store. It's a lot harder on Etsy for sure. I'd say if you compare it, Merch by Amazon is like elementary school and Etsy is like university, because it's like so much crazier with the variations. And we've actually had more issues happen with the integration happening with Printful and Etsy. Like Arete will change something on Printful and then everything is unsynced. And then she has to go and manually sync everything. We have to get on customer support. But it makes up for all those issues in the fact that you're emotionally more connected to your store and you get to directly talk to customers. And we hear stories of people receiving our shirts as gifts and like they show us pictures of them. And it's like there's so much more of a connection for sure. So that's why we still value it, even though it's like it's definitely an uphill climb with Etsy. And I would say that if anyone's starting out, get a base first before you jump into Etsy and Printful. Like do Redbubble, do merch, like get your base down as to how the whole print on demand thing works. Because if you start off with zero experience, I'm not saying you won't succeed. It's just there's going to be a lot of trial and error and potential hardship that we've experienced. That would be my advice for anyone going into Printful and Etsy. But it's definitely very rewarding.
Yeah, that's getting that base down is super important. I think it's because there can be a big steep learning curve to figuring everything out and starting like in elementary school, like you're saying, you know, and going from there to, you know, from Merch by Amazon to the next platform, you start to figure it out. And then by the time you get to Etsy, it makes a lot of sense. And so the integration process can go a lot easier once you go through those first few platforms. What does your workflow process look like? That's what I was wondering. Like how, so your designer comes up, or you guys do some research, I'm guessing, and then you give that to your designer, and then how does it go from there?
So the three of us, we all do this part-time, and because Maria still has her full-time job as a 911 operator, and then both me and Arete have our other business, Esatino Artists, which is the YouTube channel, creating online courses, that type of thing. So once a week, we meet up in downtown Vancouver at our office, and we usually meet up for about 2 to 3 hours. Sometimes, you know, it will stay a little bit longer, but it's never more than 4 or 5 in one session. And we meet up once a week, and we've been doing this for like a year and a half now. And what we do, if we don't already have ideas in our little spreadsheet, we will come up with ideas as a whole. So, you know, Maria, when she, like I get a lot of ideas from seeing people in downtown Vancouver. I'm usually out and about. So I see a lot of like fashion and people wearing different things. And when I'm online searching, and I always like jot them down on my phone. I have a little notepad where whenever I see something that catches my eye, and I'm always like, that's a t-shirt, that's a t-shirt. I always put it into my notepad. Then when we get into the meeting, we all put it all on this spreadsheet. And then Arete takes those ideas and she'll take about 10 to 20 of them and assign them to our designers. So we have a Google Docs thing that each of them share, and she will go in and assign them. They each have a color code. They're assigned. Once they're assigned, they know to go and work on them. So they're off, the designer's working on them. Then Arete chooses some designs that she wants to work on, and then I start uploading. So there's a bank of designs that have text that are ready to go. I start uploading onto Merch by Amazon, and Maria is either working on text for the new ones that are coming up, or she's uploading onto Redbubble. Then after Arete is done assigning and doing some designs, then she uploads onto Etsy. And we do that up until our head hurts and then we are hungry. And then we usually take a break and then end it off, or we go hang out after. So that's pretty much what we do. Yeah, we've built this pretty much part-time meeting once.
It's impressive to have each stage of it not automated, but lined up in that way so that it flows together. I think for me, just doing most of those things by myself, I've found it the hardest to keep all of them moving at once. There's always a bottleneck. I'm either looking for new ideas and I don't have any, or I've got a backload of designs, or I need to just get my uploads done. So that's awesome. You balance it among three people and a design team. Like, it sounds like you guys have a pretty consistent flow going up and getting out there. have you seen, like, as you grow your uploads, is your business growing along with that? And is it kind of feeding back into itself?
I will say it was growing up until Amazon decided to change their algorithm. And then our income, it was like last summer, it like dropped. And it hasn't gotten back to that point. I think a lot of people were talking about that and like noticing that their sales haven't been as good as it was at that time. We were definitely bummed out, but that's why we branched out to other platforms. We're like, hey, we cannot rely on Amazon right now. We don't know what they're going to do, but we still like it. It's still like the main one, but I can see Etsy taking over that in the future for sure.
Yeah, I think that's important. Like, Shannon, I want to talk a little bit about diversification, and because I think that's really important for people to grow into. I was just doing some research this morning. I'm trying to figure out how to get to 4,000 uploads and trying to decide which of my designs I want to do that on. So I have this kind of spreadsheet system where I'll take a look at, hey, here's all the things that sold in 2017, and here's all the things that sold in 2018. I look at some of my design series, and kind of going back to those goofy shirts we were talking about, some of those goofy ones were just selling bang, bang, bang in 2017. I even mentioned that horse girl shirt. That hasn't sold very many at all this year. So we like to be really positive, and we like to take an optimistic outlook. But Julie, I think you're right in that it would be a lie to say that the marketplace isn't more saturated and that there are changes that have happened that we can't really control in Amazon. But what I can say about, even though my Merch by Amazon sales are down compared to some months last year, I think you're so right in that Etsy and Redbubble and the other PODs have made up for that. And if you're doing this part-time or full-time, having that consistency can really make or break whether or not this is a viable business for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, when that, like, it really opened our eyes, especially this past Q4 when everything was literally frozen. You couldn't upload or do anything. We were like, whoa, this is scary. So we need to branch out and have more control. And that, I mean, with Etsy, like, it's been so cool, like, to see all the analytics and exactly what they're searching for and the people's names, and it really makes a difference. And I hope that Amazon in the future will allow us to, they probably won't give us customer data, but like their names or anything like that, because they want to control all that. But to give us a little more connection, maybe to create like a storefront or something, you know, like how you can with FBA, that type of thing. But yeah, I mean, you can't rely on one thing. That's what I always talk about in our channel as a whole in general. Like, you can't rely on one income source. That's why we have so many variation, because you never know what's going to happen. But yeah, that's why I always teach to people who are always asking me questions.
Do you guys have any aspirations to build a brand off of Etsy? It sounds like you guys are doing some really cool engagement with your customers. And I think in one of your videos, you mentioned you're posting pictures of, like, if you're making a coffee shirt, you're going to order it and then post a picture of you drinking a coffee and wearing it. I thought that was really something that can really help you stand out. I thought that was really smart. So I think the next step for you would be to, if there's the volume there, maybe take it to your own e-com store and try to pull customers off Etsy. Do you have any, like, aspirations to build a brand off there, or are you happy growing that on Etsy? And do you think building a brand is worthwhile?
Well, we've talked about it. And to be honest, like, in the very beginning, I had no intention of going on Etsy, because I was like, nah, I don't really want to do that. I'm really into Merch by Amazon. And I just only want Merch by Amazon. But then when all that stuff happened, I was like, okay, I need to broaden it a little more. And I didn't really think that I would like Etsy as much as I do now. Like, I love getting the notifications of favorites. And yeah, you're right, we are really selling the fact that, you know, there's three high school friends and we're getting together and we're coming up with ideas and we're here from Canada. Like, we really sell that in our bio and the about section. And we're always posting pictures of us, like, interacting with the shirts. Like, we had a shirt that has to do with dental hygiene, because my sister is a dental hygienist, and we got her to wear the shirt with her whole dental hygiene gear, and we did a little photo shoot, uploaded that, and like people loved it, and like we're getting stories of people saying that, you know, they gave it to their daughter because she just graduated from dental hygiene. And it's just like, it's really cool to see those types of stories. So right now we're wanting to focus and grow our Etsy presence and Etsy store, but we have talked about creating like a Shopify and doing like our own brand off of that. So I would say we're going to grow Etsy and see where it turns into. But as of right now, we don't have any specific goals to make like a separate brand off of Etsy.
That's awesome. It seems like one of the hardest things for people to do is build an audience outside of the platform, whatever, merch by Amazon or Etsy or whatever, to drive traffic, you know, to use that audience to drive traffic to those platforms. But it sounds like you're doing a really good job of it, in terms of like getting, you know, like your sister with a dental hygienist.
Yeah.
What exactly what are you guys doing like with that? Are you posting all of your designs to your Instagram or Pinterest accounts or like Facebook, or how are you gathering the audience and how are you driving traffic and how is that going for you? Like, what kind of results have you seen from that?
Well, right now we don't have any other social media platforms for our Etsy store brand. Right now we're just giving amazing customer service, and they have that feed. It's kind of like a Facebook feed. So whenever people favorite and follow your store, they'll get your feed. So that's why we're trying to create really engaging, like, there's a certain type of culture on Etsy where it's like very female based and everyone's like helping each other, togetherness. So that's what we're trying to create on our store. So that's why we put my sister on there, Maria's on there, like us in the office working late. I posted a picture about that, and just like trying to be as real and down to earth to relate to the customer as possible, that like, oh, these are just, you know, three girls from Vancouver, you know, I want to support them, I like their story, that type of thing. We're really leveraging off of that. And Arit is giving amazing customer service right now. When someone buys a t-shirt, whatever that t-shirt is, so let's say it's a dental hygienist t-shirt, she sends them a joke about that specific niche. And we always get responses from people. And like whatever the shirt is, there will be a related joke to that niche. And then the whole way, like when it gets shipped out, like she'll send them a message. And then when they receive it, she'll send them a message. And like, it's like a whole process, and she's going really all out, and it's really making a difference, because then we get more 5-star reviews, and then that whole builds your whole store, and then you get more favorites and just creates the cycle. So she's all out with that. When she told me she was sending jokes to people, I was like, wow, that is like, that's really cool. Like, I didn't even know she was doing that. She just thought of that herself.
That I think you guys are the gold standard for engagement on Etsy. I thought I was doing well with following up after something's delivered and asking how it was, but the jokes is next level. That is, when you guys are building that brand on Etsy, like I think whenever you do decide to build a brand, you're building the engagement right now that people will follow you. If you start telling them to go to another site, you know, people don't want to be there just because they're on Etsy. Like, if you're building that kind of loyalty, I think that's really smart, and that's a huge differentiator. And it's fun. You guys are having a good time with it. That's really cool.
It's fun to see the reactions when they message back and like they weren't expecting that. Oh, and yeah. even when we actually did get our first sort of refund request, this person had ordered a shirt, but they said they had ordered a small. But when we took a look at their order, they actually ordered a medium. So they made the mistake themselves, but since, you know, even though it was their fault, Arit gave such good customer service that in the beginning this lady was pretty mad, and she actually entitled the email fraud. Like, she was like, oh, you guys are frauds, you just decided to buy me any size shirt you wanted. And I was like, okay, if we were fraud, we wouldn't send any shirt at all. But
you're doing it wrong.
But that Arit was super nice, took control of the situation, gave her a full refund. And you know what? We even said to her, like, oh, you know what? Here's a full refund. And you know what? You don't need to send the shirt back. Just keep it on the house. And she completely changed. Like, she was so mad at us in the beginning. She completely changed. And she's like, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. And like, she changed her tone and she actually gave us a good review after that. So, you know, even if you get things like that, there's with good customer service, you can definitely turn it around. And that was one that Arit worked her customer service magic on.
Yeah, that makes a huge difference in your store, especially just starting out. It's so big on Etsy. You have to go beyond, because on Amazon, with your experience selling in merch, you can have an awesome shirt and then you get a 2-star review and it's a sizing review. Oh, it was too small. I didn't order a size down or a size up, whatever it is. And then you don't have any control over customer service. And then Amazon's just like, okay, well, that's fine. You know, we're going to charge you more next quarter anyway to ship the same shirt, and we're not going to take care of sizing, and it's your problem. And we're like, if you're going to build something for the long term, I love the way you guys are doing it. I think that's great.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, we have gotten those reviews on Amazon where they love the design, but the shirt was completely messed, or they actually didn't print it well on the shirt and it was like stretched out or something. But there's like literally nothing that we can do about it. So we're kind of just like, okay, new next design. There's no connection. Like, I want to, like, because for me, like, I want the person to get a really good product and to have a good experience. Yeah. But Amazon kind of cuts off that connection. So it's kind of just like upload as many designs as you can type thing. Yeah. Whereas on Etsy, that's not the method on Etsy for sure.
It's a bit ironic because Amazon is supposed to be customer centric, but I think merch still is going through some growing pains in that regard for sure. Mm-hmm. What goals do you guys have for, I guess, the short term and this year? It seems like it's grown organically and out of an opportunity, and you have a big process now. When you meet every week, is there any discussion about where you want to grow it to? And if not, just what would you like to see?
We've had sort of a steady growth. It hasn't been like a crazy spike or anything. It's been very steady and gradual, not as fast as we like it sometimes. But one of our main goals is Maria. She, as I mentioned, she's a full-time 911 operator, and she works all kinds of shifts, both day, graveyard, like night. And it's really tiring and draining. And she's expressed to us that, you know, when we first started this, that she really wants to get out of that and go part-time and work in the daytime, because it's very emotionally demanding when you're dealing, like, the stories that I hear that she gets is like crazy. And I'm like, I don't know how you deal with that every day. So our goal is actually to build this up so that she can go part-time and be potentially full-time entrepreneur and just do this full-time with us all the time. Like, cause me and Arit, we do our business full-time with YouTube and online courses and stuff. So we'd like to have her join us and just be the trio working on our designs.
That's an awesome goal. Which platform is going to help you get there this year if you had to pick?
I think Etsy and Printful. The higher profits. The long-term growth is a lot bigger. And it's because it's a lot harder, not everyone's doing it. It deters a lot of people. Because I will say that merch by Amazon from when it first started is very saturated right now. Like, there's lots of people and lots of competition. You can still be successful in it and still have lots of sales, but in terms of standing out and being different, and it's like, I think it's going to be on a different platform, like Etsy for us, like, for sure, because we really strive at customer service and the smaller details and just really going above and beyond for our customers. So I think that's where we're going to grow for sure. But we will always still have Redbubble and merch in the background.
Yeah, Shannon, I want to know what you think, because I think I've evolved a bit to see merch as part of a whole a whole system, right? Where we're making designs, we're not selling t-shirts, we're making designs that can go on any product and be on any platform we choose. And merch is almost like a, in my opinion, a cash cow that can help fund your business and fund an expansion, but it's not a end game, in my opinion. I think like it's a good test ground where you can learn, where you can develop a cash flow, where you can learn how to run paid ads and do some SEO, et cetera. But if you have a design, really the only barrier from you putting it on other areas, like you said, is what kind of difficulty you're willing to put up with and learn. Like, are you willing to integrate Printful or another drop shipper with Etsy? Are you willing to, like what I'm going through right now, I'm applying to sell Printful products through Amazon Seller Central. Are you willing to learn and which platform is best, whether it's Redbubble or Spreadshirt, all the different PODs? So it's definitely part of an ecosystem, but I agree with you that if you do the hard things like building a brand, like getting on other platforms, it not only diversifies you, but it sets you up for long-term success. Shannon, what do you think about kind of that strategy and where merch fits in overall?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's like you said, it's the beginning stage. It's the place where you can start and just try to upload as many designs as fast as possible. And then, but to use that cash to go and expand onto like to these other platforms, your Etsy, your, you know, well, I'm on eBay as well. And like I was on Redbubble, but TeePublic and all these different platforms. And I think the more that if you have good designs, and I think the quicker that you can get your designs onto different platforms, the sooner, I mean, the better business you'll have. I mean, some people say like, well, you can't sell if you're making garbage, you'll never sell garbage. You know, it doesn't matter how many other places you upload your designs to, you won't be able to sell them. And I agree, like, but you should, at the very beginning, if you're concentrating, focusing on creating good designs from the very beginning, then I think that you should be able to put them on all these different platforms. And when you do that, you should see positive results. And I love how your marketing, like you're using the Etsy platform in a way that's like, it's a little outside the box. Like, I've never heard of somebody sending a joke, for example, to the customers. I think that's brilliant. And I think that you're creating these raving fans that will continue to come back over and over and over time and time. They'll keep an eye on your store and they'll always remember that positive experience. I mean, people, what do they say? It's like they don't always remember what you say, but they do remember how you made them feel. And I think you're making people feel happy and it's like just putting a smile on their face. And that says volumes about your store and they'll come back and respond to you, I think, in the future in very positive ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you can definitely see it when they respond back, like actually laughing, like they actually put it in there and they share like how the person reacted when they've given the gift or whatever, like it's that emotional connection. I've always said this with like our YouTube channel and everything, like I want to create an emotional connection with people because I feel like that is more important and that's what's going to help you grow. Because like my channel, like I could be just like a regular tutorial channel, not show my face, just be whatever, be very generic. But I'm like, I get a lot of comments about people saying that I'm very personable and like, I just want to just make it as simple as possible, have a connection, give you a good time while you're buying your shirt. You know, you're spending like $29 on one t-shirt. Like I want you to have a good time and feel like you got the value for it. That's really important. So that's where we're really trying to focus and grow right now on Etsy.
Cool. Just out of curiosity, you're saying you're on your Printful Etsy integration, are you uploading mainly just t-shirts? Or are you expanding into different product variations as well? It's just curious what you guys are doing there.
Right now, it's just t-shirts. That's it right now. We haven't tried any other products. Redbubble has lots of different kinds of products, like stickers are selling like all the time, greeting cards, that type of thing. I wanted to ask you guys a question, actually. You know how Merch by Amazon just released the pop sockets. What are your thoughts on that?
So I'll start. I've got that on my to-do list today. I had to look up what a pop socket is. And after I learned what a pop socket is, one thing that I love to do, and I do a lot of scale designs for better or worse, is I can now do an action automated in Photoshop pretty easily. So I do that for resizing my normal merch shirts to a hoodie size, where I'll just have like a file on my desktop full of regular size shirts. I'll go into Photoshop, I'll run the action, and then it just boom, 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 boom. And then I've got a folder full of hoodie size designs. So I'm curious to try that for pop sockets to resize my designs automatically down. It won't work for a lot of the text ones, but maybe for the more simple designs, that'll be good. I plan on going on Creative Market, and for every design that I have for commercial use, like a pattern, I'm going to just throw a bunch of patterns on there, like maybe a pool for like waves in a pool, or like a polygon or whatever. I'm just going to splash those up there. And I'm going to do the approach where I'm just shotgunning it down at like a 1 cent margin, try to anchor a sale, and then go for it. So am I super optimistic about it? Not really. Am I happy for a new product? Absolutely. So I'll probably throw up maybe 100 to 200 when it's all said and done, and then hang out for a month, test it, maybe run some AMS ads to it and see where it goes.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some people on social media get some sales. I haven't created any designs yet for it. We're still focused just on uploading as many designs for shirts and the other product variations that we can. We will eventually, but you know, it's like one of those things where you have to decide where to spend your time, and is this a long-term, I mean, it'll always be around, but do I think like it's going to be a big seller? It's hard to say. I mean, Amazon's trying to say that their data is backing up the reason that they're releasing this new product instead of something like tank tops or mugs, for example.
Yes. Both are which products, Jewel, you should add on your Etsy portfolio next, because those are the number one and two sellers on Etsy. Sorry to interrupt, Shannon. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I sell tanks almost on it, tanks or mugs every day on Etsy. And so that's kind of what I wish they would have released, but you know, I don't know. I'm probably going to keep an eye on how everybody else is doing with it. And then make a decision in probably a few weeks or so, if I really want to dive into it. How about you?
I thought it was a weird move on Amazon's part, but I know that they're usually quite calculated, but with their data. So I'm like, okay, this must be like the next big thing, because like I was confused, because I'm like, oh, these have been out for a while now. Like everyone's discounting these now, like at Winners and all the stores, because I feel like it's already played out, those things.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm just like, wow, it's pretty late in the game to do this. And I'm surprised that they're wanting to go full force with it like that. And I just went around and I started looking at other people's designs, and I did a video on this, and I noticed that there were a lot of bad reviews with, I don't know if it was the first batch or whatever, but like the sticky part wasn't working very well, and it was like ruining phone cases and all this stuff. Like it wasn't an overwhelming, yes, this is a cool product. It was like in the low 50s and 60s that they would get 5-star, and the rest was like below. And a lot of 1-star and 2-star like bad reviews. And I was like, this is really interesting that they're launching this. We'll try it out. Like we'll upload some of them. But I'm just curious to see what other people think about it. And yeah, I really thought that they were going to release tank tops because it's going to be summer. So I'm thrown off, but Amazon likes to do that. So yeah, I guess I shouldn't be that surprised that they're throwing a curveball.
Yeah, this feels like a cash play for me to them. It's a yeah. small product, doesn't take up a lot of warehouse space. They probably leveraged the PopSockets company into a killer deal where they get these things for pennies. So Amazon cleans up on this stuff. I've noticed, especially with like hoodies, especially as I start to look into like merchandising services and then maybe using Amazon as a manufacturer, like they are making... Yes, I'm a seller on Amazon who's complaining about how their prices are too high, but come on, when you look at them with an honest look against, like just like you reviewed, Teespring today, with their prices for YouTubers, you can get a basic shirt shipped or printed at least for like, the base cost is like $10, right? And then they'll ship it for $4 domestically in the US. And then meanwhile, on merch, their base cost is variable, but it's at least 13 or 14. Even with Printful, a basic shirt is $8.95. So for me, PopSockets feels like, hey, what's a small, low-cost product that we can add and print easily? They don't have to stock a lot of variations, right? They don't need black, white, yellow, red shirts. They just need a bunch of PopSockets. And it doesn't feel like a seller-focused move, which, like you said, I'm not surprised by that either.
I feel like it won't last like how a t-shirt could last forever. Like I really don't think, I feel like those are a fad. Like the, it's like a phone accessory. Phone accessories change so much. Phones change, like the technology. How much has a t-shirt changed? Right, it's pretty much the same for like a while. So I mean, I'm interested to see what happens with it, but I wasn't like, oh my God, I need to upload PopSockets right now.
Right. I saw your video about the 1 and 2 star reviews about how the PopSockets were falling off and stuff like that. And so you're the reason, Jewel, that I'm not uploading PopSockets.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But it's like, there's way too many bad reviews on this. Like it's, And you could see the pictures, like it's all ruining their phone. It only works, I think, best if you do not have a plastic case and you either put it directly on the phone or you have like a metal or glass back, because as soon as it's like plastic, it ruins the case from what I could see. Because I actually wanted to get one for my phone, but I have a plastic backing, so I don't want to ruin my phone.
And then Amazon says that's the seller's fault. It's not our fault.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I'm sure that they'll be looking at all of that and maybe adding a better adhesive or something. Like, hopefully they'll fix it. Because there's a ton of bad reviews.
Yeah. Shannon, I like what you said earlier about you have to choose how to spend your time. For me right now, it's like tearing up to getting 4,000 live. The second most important thing, like how I can get the most bang for my buck, is blasting those over to like Redbubble and Spreadshirt and the other PODs for designs that already exist. I think the third thing is getting things up on Etsy where the margins are way higher. So I would say if I had all my slots filled, PopSockets would be very, very low down that list. Oh, one thing that's up there too is getting existing products on Seller Central and trying that out. So I think like chasing $1 or $2 margins on PopSockets, like in the list of things you can prioritize, is pretty low. But since they're new, maybe you can anchor a couple designs, get a couple reviews, and have it be evergreen. Just we can spend our time better elsewhere.
Right.
I agree. Yeah.
Go ahead.
go.
I think we're about to ask the same question, but thank you so much for coming on the show and for spending time with us today. I think our audience probably got a lot of value out of listening to you talk about your different experiences in the print on demand industry. If somebody wanted to reach out to you or check you guys out on YouTube, where can they go and how can they get in touch with you guys?
So we have they can find us on YouTube. That's our main platform. We're there, 3 to 5 days a week. And Mondays is where we do our Merch by Amazon update videos on what's happening with our accounts. And yeah, it's Essatino Artists. And if that's too weird to spell, then just spell my name Jewel and you'll find me right away on the first page. So it's J-E-W-E-L, like the singer. And you'll find me on YouTube.
Very cool. Well, we'll definitely put your link in the comments. Spencer, did you want to add anything?
I think everyone should go check out the channel, because between you, Arit, and Maria, I was lucky to just dive in the last 2 days and watch some of your updates. I love your transparency. I think you guys do things a little bit differently. And I don't know if people can learn from the way you guys are approaching all of the different pieces of content you're putting out Monday through Friday and combine and learn from you. I think people can be pretty dangerous. So go check out Jewel, everybody. That's all I have to say, because I really appreciate being able to learn from you today.
Thank you, guys. I had a lot of fun. It seems like, you guys are doing really well with your podcast as well. So, I'll give me the link to this and I'll put it on our Merch Rams and update for our viewers as well.
That sounds great. Thank you. All right. Thanks, Jewel. Thank you, everybody. And take care. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review wherever you find your content. As always, you can find us online at merchlifestyle.com.